This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, we are in the lesson of death and hereafter. And today as I speak to you, all of us are aware for the last since the 24th of this of February, war is going on in Ukraine. And of course it gets a lot of publicity because it's in Europe, but war has been going on in Yemen for the last 5 years. And uncounted misery has been visited upon people who are completely innocent, who have done absolutely nothing to deserve that, only because of problems between their leaders, between their leaders and the leaders of the nations who are waging war. And the obvious thought that comes again and again is, would people do this if they were conscious of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the short answer is, they would not. The sad thing is that there are Muslims involved in both these conflicts. And I'm saying sad not because of the not because the death of Muslims is more grievous than the death of anybody else, but because Muslims at least should have this consciousness to say that we cannot and we should not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we will be called to account. Now, if even we as Muslims do not have this awareness, do not have this this sense of being accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what hope is there for others and what hope is there for us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is very, very important for us to focus on our lives and constantly remind ourselves that one day I will die and I will stand before Allah. And that is the meaning of the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, where he said, the most intelligent of you is the one who remembers his death most often. Now, remembering death is not being morbid or something. It is to remember this reality that one day I will die. And that's not a passive remembrance, it's not an academic thing. One day I will die, meaning, am I preparing for that day? When I say I will die, it's not just a physical matter of dying, but it's a matter of being aware that we will be resurrected before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our actions, for what we say, what we do, or what we said, what we did. And all of this is very much part of understanding and being aware of the of the fact that we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So in this context, there are the ulama and fuqaha and the scholars of Islam. They have guided us and from the Quran and Hadith, and they have given us some pointers as to what is the cause of the fasad, what is it that takes us away and from the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for us. And the danger is it puts us in a place where we can be in serious trouble, and the worst of that trouble is that we have a what is called su al-khatiba, which is a bad ending. Naturally, it's something that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his mercy and his protection from a bad ending. Now, the first of those is what is called udul al-udul anil istiqamah, that is diversion from the straight path. Now, think about that, we know this enough in when we see study angles in geometry, that a diversion of 1 degree at the inception can result in a huge wide diversion completely off in infinity. So it starts and looks like a small thing. I call this the narrow end of the wedge. You know, when you are cutting a big tree, what they do is they make a cut and then they put a wedge. You know what a wedge is? It's a triangular shaped piece of wood or whatever, and they hammer that in, and this wedge actually splits the tree, because the wedge, the narrow end, the pointed end is very small, but as it is hammered in, it widens and widens and widens until it splits the whole tree. Now this narrow end of the wedge is what causes trouble for us, because we do things which on the face of it, they don't look so bad. And we say, oh, but what is it after all? You know, I didn't go to the masjid one day, what does it matter? I didn't fast one day, what does it matter? I was, you know, we had to go to this place. We were traveling and we would have enjoyed. If you are fasting, it's a problem for... And Shaitan puts a spin on it. Shaitan says, see, if you are fasting, then you are going to be causing inconvenience to others. Right? So not fasting is actually a good thing. Don't do that. And how is anybody inconvenienced? If I'm fasting, how is anyone... Oh, no, but you see, people like to eat with you. And if you are not eating with them and so on. So here we are now saying, here is what people like to do. Here is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. The sawm, the fast is for me and I will reward it. Allah did not say, I will reward it with this or that. He said, I will reward it. Meaning, in keeping with His majesty and grace. Shaitan is taking us away. So small things, what seem to be small, it's okay, this is okay, that is okay. This is the root cause of all the corruption in life, that we give in to small things. Shaitan is very smart. He knows that he will not come to you directly with shirk. He will not come to you directly with something that is haram. He comes to you something which will take you towards that. Very, very small. Very, very small. Shaitan's own issue is a very good example for us, because he was among the righteous. He was among the people who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who tried to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he made one mistake, right? One single mistake. And that mistake which he made, it started again as small, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him make sujood, he did not make sujood. Even at that point in time, it was still a small mistake. He could have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, Ya Allah, give him a chance. He said, why did you not make sujood? He could have said, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, my mistake, please forgive me. He is good. He didn't do that. He said, no, I am superior to him. Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. How can you ask me to make sajda to him? So now, he did not make sujood. That was one disobedience. But now, by questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in effect saying, the mistake is not mine, the mistake is yours. Your order is wrong, right? That order that you give to make sajda to Adam, this order itself is wrong. Now, this is a huge thing. This is, you are now blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are pretending that you know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say, oh, but you see, you are telling me to do something which is itself wrong. So you're accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now of making a mistake. Now, I know we are not doing that in so many words, but just think about that. When we say, for example, that this is what Islam orders, but, you know, times have changed, and this has happened, that has happened, this can't be done, that can't be done. Meaning what? Meaning, effectively, we are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us orders which are no longer applicable today. Right? We cannot fulfill them, we will not fulfill them. This is kibr. And so Shaitan went from being a obedient slave to becoming rebellious, and that is the fate of that. Rasulullah said that the thing I fear the most for you is a man who memorizes the Quran until its noor shines from his face. Then he distances himself from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he fights with his neighbor, he takes his sword on his neighbor and accuses him of shirk. Right? Now, Hudhaifa bin Yaman, radiallahu anhu, he said, who is the mushrik among them? The accuser or the accused? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the accuser. Yeah? Now think about that. Here is a beautiful example that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving, where righteousness, being good, doing good, leads to kibr, leads to arrogance, leads to self-righteousness. Righteousness and self-righteousness are two very different things. So let us not become self-righteous. Self-righteous is where you feel that I am the only one doing good things and everyone else is wrong, and everyone else is at fault, and everyone else is less than I am. Now this is, of course, completely and totally prohibited in Islam. There is no way of considering yourself superior to anybody else. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is saying here that the person is, he's memorizing the Quran and so on and so on. Obviously he is, this person is righteous, he is making effort in the way of deen, and he gets to the point where he has memorized the Quran is visible from his eyes, from his face, from his, the nur of the Quran is in his face, and you know, maybe the person is now also, obviously because of that, he's fasting and praying and so on, he's on the sunnah, maybe he changes his dress, maybe he changes all that, and then he now starts finding fault with others. How many times have we seen this? How many times? I always tell people, when people say, in terms of marriage also, they say, how do I know if I have a good spouse or not? How do I check? Or somebody says, as friends, who is a good friend? I tell them, listen to their conversation. Listen to their conversation. If it is somebody who is constantly criticizing others, that's not a kind of person you want to be with. Because constant criticism comes out of arrogance. That here is a person who considers himself to be so superior that he thinks it is his job to constantly find fault with other people. That's not the kind of person that you want to be with. Right? So this is a very important thing to keep in mind. That good, doing good must not make you self-righteous, must not make you pompous, must not make you somebody who thinks that that they are the best of mankind. Taking us, if you don't take to the straight path, then this will take you, you know, sometimes to a very, very different place. That is why we keep on saying Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. The Quran, the Surah al-Fatiha is the essence of the Quran. The whole meaning of the Quran is collected in Surah al-Fatiha. And the essence of Surah al-Fatiha is Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And what is that? This is comes before Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are saying, oh Allah, I worship only you. I ask help only from you and guide me to the straight path. That's the reason why we keep on saying, guide me to the straight path so many times, because it is not just the matter of guidance. Guidance has already come. But when you say guide me, it's not, you are not asking for some new guidance to come to you. It's the guidance is the Quran. We already have that. The guidance is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We already have that. Really what we are saying is, Ya Allah, guide me to that. The guidance is there. Guide me to it. I am away from the guidance. Guide me to it and keep me on it steadfast. Istiqama on the on the straight path. Right? No udul istiqama. No change and no weakness in that istiqama. The second one is al israr al maasi, insisting on committing sins. So insisting on a small sin makes you commit major sin. For example, you are smoking, and somebody says, "Don't smoke. This is haram." So no. But I read somewhere it is makruh tahrimi. Yeah. Now, the person saying makruh tahrimi, most of the time they don't even know what that means. Makruh tahrimi is in Hanafi fiqh. Makruh tahrimi is a makruh which is disliked. So first question to ask is, disliked by whom? Disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if something is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can that thing be permissible? How can you take it as permissible on yourself anyway? Now in that thing which is disliked, there are two classifications. One is makruh tanzihi and the other one is makruh tahrimi. Tanzihi is less. Among the dislike, between the two, this is less, and tahrimi is almost haram. So now think about this. You are smoking, or you are buying and selling cigarettes, or you are dealing with whatever tobacco products, or you are manufacturing cigarettes and so on and so forth. Whatever, these are all things in Islam. You know, the principle is that if something is haram, then everything associated with it is haram. So even if you don't smoke, if you are manufacturing cigarettes and all kinds of products of that kind, or you're buying and selling them or whatnot, then you are equally culpable. You are not. You can't say, well, I wasn't smoking. No, you are not smoking, but you were enabling others to do that. So therefore, you are part of the problem. Now, if you do that, think about this, and you say, we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says, why were you doing that? Oh, Allah, I was doing something which is makruh tahrimi. I was doing something which was close to haram, but see, after all, it was not haram. Yeah? So So you want to stand before Allah and argue about this, what was haram and what was not haram. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, haram or no haram, it was something that I disliked. How did you do that all your life? And you call yourself a Muslim, what's the answer? Huh? What is the answer? I spent my whole life doing tahrimi, makruh tahrimi. I spent my whole life doing makruh tahrimi. I earned my living through makruh tahrimi. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Small, these are all things which seem to be small, but they take you to much worse than that. If you commit a small sin and you continue to commit that small sin, then you are now murtakib and you are now guilty of committing the worst of sins, which is kibr. Insisting on sin means I don't care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what you're saying with your action. I don't care about Allah. I don't care whether Allah likes it or not. I will still do it. It's a small thing. Small according to who? Disobedience of who? Allahu Akbar. Allah is not small. So disobedience of Al-Akbar, disobedience of the one who is the greatest, how can that be small? And insisting on it means that now you are standing in competition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, I want something and you want something, and what I want, I will do. I don't care if you like it or not. This is effectively, by our actions, this is what we are doing or saying if we commit a sin, no matter what that sin is. So insisting on it. I'm not saying we commit a sin, by mistake it happens, out of weakness it happens, forgetfulness happens, and then immediately we make tawbah. No, that's a different thing altogether. Alhamdulillah, if you do that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely forgive you. But if I don't do that, and instead of that, I continue to commit that sin, then committing a small sin makes it a major sin. Committing a major sin makes it kufr. So what do you say now about dealing in interest, for example? The most major of sins. Refusing to get out of interest-based dealings. Where is it taking you? It takes you to kufr. Exit from Islam. Believe me, there's no certificate that comes to say you are a Muslim, you are not Muslim. This is what Allah will consider you. So if you write your name in the list of enemies of Allah and you insist on staying there, then what's going to happen? I don't want to make fatwas. I won't say this will happen, that will happen. You know what will happen. I know what will happen. Let us fear that day. So think about that. Continuing, insisting on a small sin makes you commit major sins. Continuing to commit major sins all your life amounts to kufr. Because you are deliberately doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram. Deliberately doing what Allah made haram. So Muslims who drink alcohol or do drugs or gamble, horse racing, cards, whatnot, who deal in interest, who commit zina and so on. If you do not stop doing that immediately, then fear the day when we may very well die on kufr. Right? Very, 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 very dangerous. Similarly, Muslims who don't pray, who lie and slander, riba, namima, who cheat, who don't wear hijab, and who go against the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shave their beards or whatnot, or deliberately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately make tawbah and stop those actions immediately. Because remember, our ending will be visible only to us, but then it will be too late. I remember meeting, going to condole and meet the relatives of some of my friends who passed away. They were not Muslim and they died. And almost invariably, the relatives, they said, his death was, or her death was so peaceful and so, it was so easy and so peaceful. And I'm thinking to myself, how can the death of a person who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be easy or peaceful? It cannot be. It cannot be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what will happen. But we won't know. We will not know, because we are standing, even if you are standing next to them, you don't know. So when I am dying, only I will know how I am dying. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy and to make it in a way which pleases Him, inshallah. And I make the same dua for you. So let us be very clear in our minds and let us make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us and keeps us in a place and keeps us in a way where we always obey him irrespective of what anyone else does or does not do. Right? I remember one of the ulama, he said to me, if you leave a mustahab act, you know, something that's good to do but there's no punishment for not doing it, it's mustahab. Considering it to be unimportant, halka samajhke, chota samajhke. Halka and chota are, halka means light and chota means small, but in Urdu, these are used in two ways. One is small and light also means unimportant. So he said, if you leave a mustahab act considering it to be unimportant, Allah will deprive you from following the sunnah. And if you leave a sunnah considering it to be unimportant, then Allah will deprive you from following the fard. And if you leave the fard considering it to be unimportant, Allah will deprive you of iman and you will die on kufr. Now think about those people who do not pray the fard salah. They should think. I'm not asking you to go and tell them, but I'm saying that they must think. Muslims who do not pray, who do not consider salah to be important, you are leaving not just the fard, you are leaving the most important fard. There is no fard which is more important than for the Muslim than the salah at its correct time. Muslims who are capable of doing Hajj, they don't do Hajj. And what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you are capable of doing Hajj and you don't do Hajj, meaning deliberately don't do, you are able to do it, you're able to go and so on. We're not talking about any issues with that. But you are able to do, you're able to go, and so, but you make no effort and you don't go. He said they will be resurrected with the non-Muslims, with the Jews and the Christians. What is this? I mean, the thing to understand is that we have a religion, alhamdulillah. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. Then what is the problem with following that religion? Considering a sin to be small is a sign of the disease, a sign of a disease of the heart. And it leads to making a person one of the fasiqoon. Fasiq meaning rebellious, who Allah does not guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide those who are وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah said in Surah Tawbah, Allah will not and does not guide those who are rebellious. Allah always guides those who are in need of guidance, who seek guidance, who ask for guidance, but not those who are rebellious. You don't want guidance, so go. When people increase in sin and they deliberately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the doors of hidayah, the doors of guidance, the doors of the correct path, and allows themselves to indulge to their heart's content until suddenly He commands and His command comes and they are seized in the midst of their transgressions and their disobediences and they are thrown into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called following desires in preference to His commands shirk. And He called it worshipping desires instead of worshipping Him, Jalla Jalalu. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah said, have you, O Muhammad ﷺ, seen this person who has taken as his ilah, as his deity, as something that he worships, his own vain desire? This person is worshipping his desire instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you then be a wakil over him? Allah is saying, are you going to intercede for him? Meaning what? Meaning do not intercede. أَمْ تَحْسَبُوا أَنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَقِلُونَ إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَذَلُّ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, or do you think that most of them hear and understand? They are only cattle. He said, they are like cattle. And they are, no, they are even worse. They are even further astray from cattle, from the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah said, then when they had forgotten all that they had been told to take to heart, all that they had been told to obey and do, when they forgot that, they rejected it, they refused to accept it. What happened? Allah said, we threw open to them the gates of all good things. Until even as they were rejoicing in what they had been granted, we suddenly took them to task. And lo, they were broken in spirit. Now this is the issue of continuing to do sin despite being warned. Somebody asked Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, he said, you tell us that if you do good, then good will happen. If you do bad, Allah will punish you. But we don't see this. We see people who are doing evil and they are getting more and more power and more wealth and so on and so forth. And right now, as I speak to you, we have examples, we have specific classic examples in the world of people who have left nothing untouched. Right? They committed murder, and murder on a vast scale. It's not just one person, it's from hundreds of thousands of people. People who are running wars and all kinds of things people who are doing, and they seem to be fine. Nothing is happening to them. They seem to be getting more and more. Tony Blair got the highest award from the Queen. Yeah? He got the highest level of knighthood from the Queen. Can you imagine? I mean, this is the world. This is today's world. But the fact is that one day, he and the one who gave him the award are both going to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what happens? On the Day of Judgment, there's only one king. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Liman lil mulku al yawm, Allah said, who is the king today? Who does this world belong to? The world belongs to Allah anyway, but on the Day of Judgment, Allah said, who is the one who is the hakim today? Maliki yawmiddin, who's who? Maliki yawmiddin is who? The owner of the Day of Judgment. The king of the Day of Judgment. Malikul Haqq, La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqq, La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. All glory be to the true king, who is the Rabb of the throne, of the great throne. This world, you will see, people will do evil and they will get more and more until one day they are caught. And then they are broken in spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those who commit sins repeatedly and they refuse to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the false plea that they are weak. Now we are not talking about people who are genuinely weak. We are talking about those who say, well, what can I do? You know, society is like this. And I have to do. I am working for this company. In this company, I have to do these things. So who is your Razik? The company or Allah? Who told you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you that to feed yourself, you must commit sins, you must deal in interest, you must tell lies, you must give bribes, you must cheat? Did Allah say this? Then why do you do it? And you say, oh, unless I do it, I will not be able to eat. This is a complete absence of iman. It's not even weakness, it's absence of iman. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then Allah says, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. Allah said, verily as for those whom the angels take in death while they were wronging themselves, while they were in the middle of sin, may Allah save us from this. It's a terrible thing. As they stayed among the disbelievers, at the time of Hijrah, people stayed on in Makkah, they did not make Hijrah. But it also means here, in our times, those who continue to do evil, continue to do wrong things, right? People who are dealing in haram businesses, people who are dealing in interest, people who continue to go. I mean, you're going to the race course, you're going to bet on horses. Oh, who's taking you in chains? Are you being dragged there in chains? So where is the question of saying I am weak and I couldn't do this, I couldn't do this. You know it is haram, leave it. So Allah says that the angels will take your soul, and they say, in what condition were you? I mean, look at you, how come this happened to you? And they will say, we were weak and oppressed on the earth. The angels will say, was not the earth of Allah spacious and wide enough for you to emigrate there? If you were truly unable to earn a living in a truthful way in this country, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you go somewhere else? Allah is the Razak. Allah will provide you. Why didn't you do that? Right? Allah said, such men will find their abode in Jahannam. And what an evil destination. Except the truly weak ones. Truly weak, they have nowhere to go. They are stuck. among men, women and children who cannot devise a plan, nor are they able to direct their way. So I said, the ones who are really helpless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them, inshallah. We ask Allah for His forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from being in a situation where we are weak and where we are unable to live our lives according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to live them. We continue, inshallah, next class. Let us keep on remembering this. Death and hereafter is not only about, you know, just dying and going. We're talking about how can we live a life where our death will be the most beautiful thing that happens to us. And the day we die will be the best day of our lives, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.